Hi guys, it's me Aryan and welcome to another episode of Astro Bites, the Astronomy Club's very own podcast. So today the title of the podcast is Origins, in which we'll be discussing a lot of things such as the origin of life, different theories, and why do we need to care about that. But before that, let's introduce the other two people who will be accompanying me in this. Guys, please introduce yourself, starting with Anushka.
Hi, I'm Anushka, and I really don't know what else to say, so...
And Avni.
Hi, I'm Avni. I'm from the first year biotech department, and I'm really into astrobiology. So I'm going to geek out stuff today.
Okay, by the way, just so that it's clear, Aryan is the only one from mechanical here.
Yep.
Both of us are from biotech, so it's going to be an interesting conversation.
So essentially, the dynamic of this conversation is going to be, I'm the dum-dum whom they're going to explain stuff to.
Don't worry, poor dum-dum.
That's going to be it. Anyway, so I guess first question, which is on board since, you know, we're talking about the origins of life itself. I think first we need to set a definition on what do we define as life, right? Is it something that gains sentience, or is it just, you know, a set of cellular structures that accomplish a certain task? So, like, floor's open to you guys. What do you think? What's the constraints under which we're going to be discussing this?
I think an organization of cells would be called life. And the chemical reactions which happen in the cell essentially is life. Because if you attribute consciousness or speaking abilities or response exactly to life, then you cannot explain life for certain organisms. So maybe a response to the outer environment. And secondly, the basic metabolism reactions that happen.
Okay.
I like to think of what life is, like trying to explain it to a computer. It would be easier to explain what life isn't than what life is, because what can you call living? I mean, it depends on different scales, right? You're looking at a whole human being, you call it living. But you go down to a cellular level, when can you stop saying that something is living?
Exactly. For me, I define something living or that has life when it is capable of reacting to external stimuli, right? When it has a defined reaction, and coupled along with another factor, right? You know, like the three, I think the three most important biological markers that states the purpose of life or its functioning is to reproduce, carry out its functioning that enables it to sustain itself, and essentially survive. Right, given conditions. That's why I fold reacting to external stimuli as one of the core pillars to defining what life is, because if you're capable of reacting to what's happening around you, you can fulfill all three tasks successfully given whatever circumstance.
That does sound accurate.
Like, that's my viewpoint on it. I don't know, I'm the mechanical guy here.
You got it pretty well, actually, because when you're explaining something like viruses, that's how you'd explain and differentiate a virus from something that is, and I quote, living, because we don't really call viruses alive per se.
Yeah, that's a controversial topic.
Because they don't reproduce on their own. Yes, that's another controversial topic.
Mm-hmm. But, like, I guess now that, you know, we've kind of addressed, like, answered what life is, there are different theories that go about, you know, with us trying to figure out how did it all begin. Because, you know, with time, you know, we've developed different explanations, because it's just innate curiosity, right, to figure out the answers to the grand scheme of things. So why even ask this question of why life began? Because when I've seen this question, I've always seen it as, why don't you look ahead? Why are you not looking at where life is going to go, or how do we sustain the life we already have, instead of looking back into the past and trying to figure out how it all began? Like, what's the point of it all?
I think it dials down to this innate curiosity about ourselves, like, where did we come from? And yes, where are we going to is a valid question as well, but that's something you can predict. But this is just something you don't know about, where did you come from? That just tickles the curiosity.
I'd say it has to do with curiosity, as well as it's going to be a great advantage for us in the future to know where we exactly came from. So can we expect life to be somewhere else in the interstellar space, or can we expect some relatives out there? And secondly, it also has to do with that, how long are we going to survive for? Like, we cannot repeat the mistakes we made in history, right? So evolution happened and a lot of species just went extinct. And we as humans might be the most intelligent species that has come until now on Earth, but there is a huge and grave possibility, and I'd say inevitably, we are going to die as well as the species. So there must be a thinking a way around it, and those questions have certain answers in our origin of life, I suppose.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. But I think coming to, I mean, now the actual main content or the context of what we're talking about is the fact that there are different theories, you know, which have evolved with time. And in my head, the first theory, when I think of when it comes to how did life originate, is it's always going to be religion that was the first to kind of even advocate this idea of, you know, and the most popular one being God said, let there be light. And then, you know, the universe was born. And then from there on, you know, sequence of events and life is born as it is. So religion standpoint was always that something as perfect as life, something as perfect as our human body, because of the very unique way it functions, it's impossible for it to have been created or born. It had to be made by somebody. It had to have been the engineering or the working of an external being or presence that had to work towards that. And again, as science progressed, we kind of realized that, wait, Darwin's theory of, you know, evolution, place in survival of the fittest and all that. But it's very interesting how religions always had the first say in a lot of things that science holds now.
I think it's easier to attribute or give credit to religion because they just, I'm sorry, this will probably sound a little controversial, but it's like the stuff you can't answer, they just said God made it. And I guess it did make sense back then when they needed answers to satisfy themselves. But now that science has advanced, that's probably not the best answer you could give.
Yeah. So what I feel is, I mean, there's this scientific materialism thing. So that goes about saying that there cannot be any supernatural force that can govern all the origin of life. So there, you use certain assumptions in it, like A, that there are these certain fixed laws of the nature which do not change, which do not have any exception, and secondly, there is this cosmic imperative that life is like, it is bound to happen because you have these substances there and these conditions there, so life's bound to happen and cannot be an accident, and that not a supernatural force could probably create. But then again, you can have reasons such as, what about morality in a person? What about the consciousness in a person? Can you exactly explain those things in scientific terms? So those are questions we might eventually maybe answer. Maybe there are laws that we haven't studied yet. We have yet to progress to that point. So I think at this point, just let them say what they want. As soon as we find out there is a fact, we can just see, we got you. Like, you're no longer right.
Yeah, but I think there was a lot, there must have been a lot of socioeconomic and cultural factors that played into why people bought into the idea of religion having its say. Because those were one of the first organized structures in the world, right? Religion was one of the first organized structures that got a sense of, and as I said, a sense of sequence to life at that time, which is why people bought into the idea, because it just made things simpler. I mean, then, you know,
it gave them something to believe in instead of accepting the void.
Yeah, it rather believe in something than not have any answers at all, right? So that kind of tied it up. But again, like, as science progressed, as the concept of science developed, the continuous asking of the question why, we kind of reached this idea. So we always see it as like a linear time, right? It's like a timeline, that there has to be something that was the origin point, something that sparked everything off. And one of the first theories that was proposed, and correct me if I'm wrong, was spontaneous generation, right? And I think there's a specific term for it.
It was just called spontaneous generation, but it had this other term to it. Vital force. That life had the vital force. I don't remember the scientist's name, but they disproved it with this experiment where they just left two pieces of meat out in the open. One was covered and one was not. And the one that was covered obviously didn't give rise to any flies. But the one that was not covered gave rise to flies because, well, the larvae were laid there. The flies' larvae were laid there. And then they gave rise to larvae and then they became flies. And that kind of disproved the whole spontaneous generation.
Yeah, but I think that the idea of spontaneous generation further led into this idea that life is formed from non-living organisms, right? Like non-living chemical constituents, right? The four main constituents of life: nitrogen, carbon, oxygen, hydrogen. I think one of the most disruptive experiments which kind of proved this was the Miller-Urey experiment. I don't know this experiment very well. I don't know the details about it as much. So again, on to you guys. Like,
yes.
Can you guys fill me in as to what this was?
So as far as I know, the Miller-Urey experiment, they were trying to recreate the prebiotic environment on Earth back around 4.6 billion years ago. So the idea was that back then Earth was very extremely hot, and there was constant lightning and ultraviolet radiation, and there were certain elements like methane and oxygen already present, and these molecules, compounds combined due to the energy supplied by the lightning and the ultraviolet radiation to form basic amino acids, which then further amino acids got into complex forms, and then maybe life generated somehow. So they were recreating this condition of prebiotic Earth. But the problem with that experiment was that back then they did find certain amino acids, but this theory of prebiogenesis had, after that, amino acids must get converted to protein somehow, or must get converted to the intelligent life we know. They could never recreate that. They got stuck at amino acids. And,
well, I can see the flaw, right? I mean, their experiment only showed that you could create these amino acids, but nothing complex than that. And for life that we know now, you need RNA, DNA, as well as the proteins.
Yeah. So, I mean, after later on, they found that the oxygen amount that they were using was quite less. But even today, even with the conditions or the quality of techniques and instrumentation we have, we still cannot recreate that complexity of life. Like, it might have taken millions of years for us. So it's, you do not have any physical evidence.
Essentially, Miller-Urey tried to recreate the primordial soup, right? Huge, vast mess of chemicals. And suddenly, life kind of originates. And
with lightning, right?
Yeah, with lightning. With like that spark, right?
Yeah.
So, but again, it's kind of, it's understandable why you'd want to, because the most logical conclusion is that if there was no life that existed, it had to have come from a place of non-living that eventually translated into a living organism, right? But then there's a theory of panspermia, which essentially states,
yes,
you know,
that's like, actually my favorite theory, man. My favorite theory.
I just got excited because we're finally getting into the astronomy part of this podcast.
Yeah.
So the panspermia theory was basically, on the very basic level, just states that there were these spores or there were these bacteria or life that was laying in a dormant state that came via comets when they started crashing on the Earth along with water. So they were, if I'm right, they were found between crystals in a dormant state. And these, when the conditions would be right, they would start reproducing and they would start their metabolic functions. So that, if I'm
I think
right...
The-
I could be wrong.
I think the idea of this theory, like, really got into the minds of scientists when they found this asteroid, a meteorite in Antarctica. And I think it was in the 80s or something. And this meteorite had actually fallen from Mars around millions of years ago. And they found it there. And they found some organic matter that could be maybe nanobacteria. So they did. So that got a lot of boom. In fact, in the United States, Bill Clinton said, yeah, we found this and we might have extraterrestrial life in Mars. And maybe life on Earth came from Mars. But the problem was, later on, you can even explain it saying maybe the meteorite got contaminated because of conditions in Antarctica in the process. Or maybe it is some just abiotically created, like certain chemical reactions that happen, but it doesn't necessarily have to be life, right? So the idea of panspermia starts with, say, there is some explosion or interstellar dust just moves these meteorites blasted off or because of some explosion from a planet to some other planet, where, say, within our solar system or from interstellar space, some other exoplanet. So that would be really interesting. And one aspect of this theory also says maybe it is intentionally sent to us. Like, maybe there's some extraterrestrial intelligent life that's sitting there and using us as specimens for an experiment, and they just send these seeds or spores and they threw it on Earth, like, let's see what these guys do. Hunger Games.
But I think almost this kind of explains, I think this buys more into the fact that there might be extraterrestrial life that exists. So panspermia might be a good explanation as to the fact that extraterrestrial life might exist, but it doesn't really tie into the origin of life. Because if you're saying that, you know, there are, you know, other beings in the universe that are using this as like a science experiment which probably got a C-, where did they come from?
That is true.
What is their origin story? It's just
starting point.
The question, right?
Yeah.
Essentially, this is kind of, I almost treat panspermia as a deviation from the actual one. It's starting a new question instead of answering what's already existing.
Yeah, you're handing the baton to astrologers. Astronomer. You're handling the baton essentially to the astronomers and not letting the biologists take care of it.
Then what is the most accepted theory then? Like, at least if there's, I'm not sure if there's an accepted theory out there that's of common
knowledge. There isn't.
That states that, yeah, this is...
Everything is controversial at this point. I mean, abiogenesis, we still don't have actual physical evidence for it. And maybe that's a lot... Maybe that's something that a lot of people believe.
I don't think it's a good idea to expect actual physical evidence for a process that took millions of years to develop, right?
Agreed, but you cannot even reach at the protein
stuff. Simulations. You can't really hope for raw evidence at hand, right?
Exactly. Unless you have a time machine.
Yeah, but you cannot even...
Yeah, that breaks laws of physics right there.
Like, do you have a theoretical explanation for how these simple amino acids got converted to complex forms like DNA and RNA? Do you have a theoretical explanation for it as of yet? It's a question.
I won't say I have a proper theory that explains it all.
You're a mechanical, we get it.
I have an idea or more. Yes, I'm mechanical. Wow, okay. This is where the prejudice steps in. Right, nice. Okay. So, I have an understanding or maybe a reasoning that kind of explains why I favor one theory over the other. So, I definitely favor the idea of the Miller-Urey experiment being one of the best bets that we have to explain how life originated. And because my entire logical reasoning boils down to one concept, one word in science called entropy.
Yeah.
Every single thing in the universe strive towards disorder, you know, towards destruction. Everything breaks, everything falls. As humans, we are a ticking clock until all the cells in our body stop functioning, right? Then you kind of figure out, well, if nature, if the universe prefers disorder, why would it give birth or give origin to a complicated life source?
Yeah.
Isn't that counterintuitive?
It is.
I'll give one example. a snowflake. It's the most, you know, I'd say the easiest example that somebody can kind of visualize also. Snowflakes have very specific structures, but those very specific structures allow them to disperse energy, or it increases their entropy significantly. So order brings out greater chaos.
Yeah.
So from that point of view, it seems to make a lot of sense why, you know, in a grand scale of things, a complicated life form.
Yeah, I see that in my room. Every time I clean my room and organize it, the next day it's messier than the last time it was. I get you. Totally.
So this, now that you're talking about your room, right, this, I read this one analogy how to explain how entropy actually works. So say you eat food and then you're asked to clean your room, which is messy. And in your head, it's kind of the opposite, right? You're making your room less cluttery. So you can say that you're reducing your entropy. But indirectly, by working, you're sweating, you're releasing heat, you're increasing your entropy, you're making it messier.
You're forcing structures to work and to displace stuff.
Yep.
So indirectly, any action that a complicated life form takes will disperse or generate greater entropy levels than, say, a simpler life form would.
I just have to say it because we're doing it on a very bio basis.
Mm-hmm.
We have to talk about astronomy, or there's no point of putting it up there for astrobites.
Mm. So again, begs the question, now that we've discussed so much biology in this, and there's been a lot of discussion going on, how does this tie into astronomy? Or what is the relevance to astronomy in general about knowing the origins of life?
I think it's to do with, to possibly ask the question, did we originate here itself, or did we, say, come from somewhere else? Because either way, we answer a question whose, either way, the answer to it is the same, right? Are we alone in the universe? Because if we did originate on Earth, you can say that probably on some other habitable planet, the same thing could have happened. Maybe in another way, maybe instead of having DNA like we do, they would have some other material. But indirectly, you could also say that this can happen somewhere else, answering the question, are we alone in the universe? But if you look at it from the other perspective, saying life was put here, or life came here via asteroids and comets, and that also answers the question, are we alone in the universe? Because if it did come from somewhere, it has to be somewhere.
Yeah. So I think this also has a very personal bias to it. Astrobiology, or the aspect of mixing up bio with astronomy, first has to do in, I have a ton of questions if there is alien life. Like, I have a list already ready. I mean, I'm going to ask this. We have so many questions unanswered about the universe, the laws we created, mathematics we created, and it works on a natural thing. I mean, mathematics is the concept we created, and it works on these natural stuff. Secondly, the quantum mechanics perspective of things. And yeah, just those are just questions I need to ask. Secondly, what is the purpose of us being here? That is a huge question. I mean, why are we here? Are we just an accident? And if we are just an accident, are there other accidents out there? Thirdly, the death perspective of it. When we die, that is when our organs stop working, that's when we are declared dead, like brain, heart, everything. So it's said the electrons in our body, they remain. I mean, electrons don't degenerate on their own unless you put some artificial thing on it, like say the nuclear decay. Electrons remain, they do not go anywhere. So are my electrons making another Avni out there? I mean, that's crazy to even think about. That is why I think astronomy and biology should really, really go together. And
when I kind of try to tie in this idea of, you know, how does the origin of life work with astronomy as a whole. I feel people kind of get carried away with the fact that astronomy is not just related to planets, stars, black holes. It's a study of the physical universe as a whole and all-encompassing. Right.
Exactly.
It's a very all-encompassing science, and astronomy is based on the question of why. And when you go into the question of why life, it's one of our most fundamental ideas, because you're questioning as Avni said, the very nature of your existence. And it's like history repeats itself with time, right? You'll always figure out patterns. That's how the universe operates on a grand scale of things. So if you kind of figure out the pattern to this, you know what's going to happen ahead, which is one of the questions that always plagues us, right? What's going to happen in the future? So I think, and as you know said, as astrobiology as a subject, I think this ties in a lot with that it really goes into extraterrestrial life. And I think if you can prove that life could spontaneously generate from nowhere, it proves we are not alone in the universe, which is one of the things
crazy
that drives astronomy as a whole,
crazy
that
thing.
The search for new planets.
It's one of those fundamental questions you ask as an astronomer.
Exactly.
How are we alone in the universe? Speaking of, do you think we're alone?
I mean, for me, I see our own existence as enough proof that life out there should exist. Right? If we were in this Goldilocks zone, with the right place, the right time, with the right things working, and suddenly,
yeah,
you know, millions of years later, you know, we are on this Google Meets call having a podcast about our very existence, you know, I definitely think it would be very egoistic to believe that we are the unique or special or the only force of life, of sentient life in the universe.
But
right?
I think it's really important to be even skeptical about everything you come across. Because we haven't had any kind of evidence as of yet. And believing that maybe in the next 100 years I'm going to meet an alien version of myself would be too far-fetched. I mean, yeah.
But the probability is never zero. It's never a zero chance that it's not going to happen.
Yeah, that is just, I think that is a driving force that's keeping us going.
So, anyways, guys, after discussing a hell lot of biology with a mechanical student in presence,
Though not say you did not have a good
time. I definitely enjoyed this conversation. There was a lot of perspective I got from it, right? But unfortunately, you know, we ran out of time for this one. And I just wanted, you know, final thoughts on what you guys felt about this entire thing. What are your final thoughts as we end this episode?
So, the conclusion is, we really don't know anything. I mean, we have come a long way from where we started with the spontaneous generation thing. Like, we know that flies don't come out of nowhere. But we have still so many questions unanswered. And mixing up biology with astronomy, I mean, it's a new field. And I think we really need to focus on the research on it, bring in the resources. And I think we need a more wider range of public who wants to study astrobiology, and also make people not make these crazy conspiracy theories and just let us go in the scientific way. Yeah.
Avni for president. Anyways, Anushka, final thoughts.
Life is definitely out there. It's just about perspective. I like to think that because, well, like Aryan said, it'd be just egoistic if you just assumed we're alone. And I think that's kind of beautiful. You're just waiting for the day where you'd find something. And then I can say,
I guess it's going to be a long time, though.
But
we're going to be waiting for a long time.
Yeah. Well, my final thoughts on this are, life is pain. I don't like it. But there's a certain elegance to it all, right? And figuring out why is what we do on a daily basis, right? We're always trying to figure out why this, why that, in whatever we try to do. And this is just another question, which is something we're just trying to figure out. And it's really fascinating for me to see what's, you know, going to be the developments in the future regarding this and how far this goes ahead. So yeah, that's pretty much my thoughts on this thing. So anyways, thank you guys so much for tuning into this episode of Astrobytes.
Thank you.
Hope you guys didn't snooze off halfway through. And if you did, blame that on the two bio girls who were here. Okay,
oh,
bye.
Come on.